Grace, mercy, and peace be to us from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we look forward to celebrating the birth of our Lord, we reflect on this one most important question of our faith. Why did God become man? Why? Why did the Almighty God of all creation see fit to take on human flesh and dwell among such wretched sinners? We find our answer and our assurance in the words of Holy Scripture. The angel Gabriel tells Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Our Lord took on human flesh for no other purpose than to deliver us from our sins and to reconcile us to God. He accomplished this by humbling himself to take on human flesh, as we read in Philippians 2. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ carries out one singular purpose. Yet he carries out this purpose through three particular offices, which the tradition of the church has recognized from Scripture. In the 4th century, the church historian Eusebius wrote in his Ecclesiastical History, "The true Christ, the divine and heavenly Logos, or Word, alone is the high priest of the whole world. He alone the king of the whole creation. He alone the supreme prophet of his Father among all prophets." Last Wednesday, we considered Christ's saving work carried out according to his prophetic office. Jesus is the true prophet. He is at the same time source, speaker, and object of his prophetic teaching. As we read in the 4th chapter of Luke, Christ was anointed to, quote, "preach the gospel to the poor." He did so on earth according to his earthly ministry, and he continues to do so wherever the word of God is faithfully preached. This evening, we'll take a similar approach to describing Christ's work through his priestly office. Jesus is the true high priest. He is at the same time our mediator and the sacrifice for our sins, which reconciles us to the Father. Unlike the priests of the Old Testament and the Second Temple period, Christ's reign as high priest is not limited by a mortal life. He lives and reigns as our priest and intercessor at the right hand of the Father even to this day. This intercession for us with the Father is based on his sacrifice for us on the cross, which guarantees that his intercession is real and it comprehends all of our needs. In the Old Testament, every high priest demonstrated this need for sacrifices. The high priests were themselves sinful men, yet God entrusted them with the office of intercession for his people. Aaron, the first high priest, was denied entry by God into the promised land because of his role in Moses striking the rock to produce water at Meribah. It was Aaron who facilitated the Israelites' idolatry by building them a golden calf in Exodus 32. Yet God set aside Aaron and his descendants to serve as intercessors between the people and God. Pastors are not really the same as priests. Pastors do not make sacrifices for themselves or for others. But God continues to call sinful men to the office to serve his people, to serve his church. Yet like the priests of the Old Testament, pastors are, after all, not perfect men. On their own, without God, all the prophets, priests, and preachers of all time are worthless. Without the Spirit and the Word, a prophet isn't a prophet. He's just a weird guy rambling on. The same thing can be said for a preacher. And what does this say for God's people? Without the proper intercessor, without the Word of God, and without reconciliation to God, we're all lost. In our sinful state, we have no ability or worthiness to approach God, let alone reconcile ourselves to Him. This is why the Old Testament priests were commanded to do what we read in our epistle reading for this evening. The priest offered sacrifices every day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. The intercession of the priest, his prayers for the people and sacrifices on their behalf, did not come from his own power. Rather, they came by God's command and were attached with a promise. The priest first had to give an unblemished sacrifice for his own sins, and only then could he perform sacrifices for the people. As an example, this entire process is written out for us in Leviticus 4. And in chapter 4, verse 20, we are given the explicit promise which is attached to these sin offerings. And the priest shall make atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven. But could the burnt offering of a goat or a bull forgive sins in themselves? Of course not. No more than our deaths may be meritorious to forgive sins. Rather, the sacrifices of the Old Testament did what God promised they would do because of what Christ did. This is what makes Jesus the ultimate priest. In the Old Testament, the offerings were distinct from the priests who made the offering, but Christ offered up himself. In the same way that Christ is both subject and object of his prophetic teaching, he is also the priest and the offering which atones for sins. The priest that came before him could only offer up animals which God commanded, sacrifices which were efficacious for forgiveness, but only in light of the ultimate unblemished Lamb, our perfect Lord, as we read in Mark 10. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ gave his own life, his own precious body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now there is no longer any need for the earthly sacrifices. The Holy Spirit speaks of this through the prophet Hosea in chapter 6 of his writing. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. The Spirit works in us true knowledge and understanding of this forgiveness of sins and of the perfect Lamb who paid our price. The Old Testament offerings are now completed in Him. The generations of the priesthood and the Old Covenant are no longer required. We now have an eternal high priest to intercede for us. As St. Paul writes to the Hebrews, the former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. The eternal Son of God is exalted at the right hand of the Father and is anointed for this office with the oath recorded for us in Psalm 110. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christ's reign as high priest does away with the Old Testament restrictions of the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron. The priests have no more earthly temple in which to practice, because Christ also is the true temple, as he says of himself in John 2. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This truth is even corroborated, if unintentionally, by pagan Jewish sources such as the historian Josephus and in the Talmud. Josephus was a Jewish writer. He lived and was active around the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, in the first century. The priests at that time would regularly cast lots to determine who had which certain duties during temple activities. But Josephus reports in his writing, these lots did not come up in the usual way for 40 years. Likewise, the Talmud, the Jewish holy book around the time after Christ, also gives a report. There was a scarlet cloth which hung in the temple. And during the Day of Atonement, this cloth would change from scarlet to white to mark the forgiveness of sins of the people. The Talmud reports that the cloth stopped changing colors around 40 years before the destruction of the temple. Christ our Lord died and rose again around 40 years before the temple was destroyed. I wonder what that could mean. This means that the ultimate sacrifice had already been made. And our high priest lives and reigns exalted at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, sons of God, here on earth. The priesthood of Christ did not end with his ascension. We continue to receive the gifts freely given on account of his sacrifice. We read in 1 John chapter 2, "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Christ continues to intercede for us, forgives our sins, and assures us that God hears us when we pray, as he teaches us in Matthew chapter 6. "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Finally, Christ continues to grant us the gift won by his sacrifice on the cross, namely the forgiveness of sins, which we receive every time we partake in the body and blood in Holy Communion. Describing Christ as our high priest is not simply a dogmatic category we can trot out to sound educated. It is a concrete reality, which we enjoy each and every day of our lives here on earth. It's a confession of our faith. Because of our sins, we are separated from God and have no way of approaching him or repaying the debt which our sins incur. But Christ paid that debt on the cross. He was the sacrifice for our sins. As prophet, Christ calls us to repentance, and as priest, he freely forgives us because of his love for us. So we know that our Father in heaven hears us when we go to him in prayer, and we find assurance in our salvation and the forgiveness of sins on account of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. Therefore, as we draw near to the celebration of his birth, we draw near in confidence. For our high priest still intercedes, he still forgives, and he still sustains his people. In him we lack nothing, for he has given us everything, himself. In the name of Christ, our high priest, amen. May rise for the offering.